I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy hour of power. I wonder what our listeners think when they hear raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Yep, that's the Terry and Jesse show. Our program is not right versus left. We're right versus wrong. Terry's not in studio today, but he's on the phone. He'll be on the phone for the rest of the show. Terry, how are you, my friend?
Brother Jeff, I'm glad to be here, at least on the phone. And I'm excited about this little girl you're going to play. But I want, before we all do that, we always have our soul food, the Bible reading for the daily mass. So, Jeff, I'm honored to be here even on the phone. And just a quick note for our listeners before we go to soul food. On Thursday and Friday, you're going to be calling in on the show yourself. And you want to tell, I mean, should we let them know where you, what you're doing? Because I'm hoping that Bishop Olmstead will actually call in on the show, you know, say a few words to us. But tell our listeners a little bit where you're going to be going.
I'm actually going on vacation, Terry. I'm always working for the Lord Apostolic in the vineyard. I'm actually going on vacation for 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Here from Phoenix, Arizona, there's a tour bus with Bishop Olmstead and the rector, who's a young Father Carapi. His name's Father Lankett.
Yeah.
We're going to take a tour bus from Phoenix, Arizona, and we're going to go to the four major cathedrals in Los Angeles and some of the missions, and we're going to, it's going to be more of a tour, and it's going to be about 60 fired up Catholics from Phoenix, Arizona. And the reason I'm going, number one, I just want to get away for a few days, put my feet up and read, get some reading done. I want to read Infiltration. I just got it. And I just want to hang out with my Bishop Terry for 4 days and Father Lankett.
Sure.
And just really just, again, just kind of rekindled that relationship that I have with them. And I'm going to twist his arm as we're on the bus to try to say something on the show, because I'll be calling up from the bus both days.
Great, Jeff. Well, let's get that soul food in right now for the Bible, for the reading of the daily mass.
Okay. It's Matthew 5, 43 to 48, very short, very pithy, love for your enemies. It says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who's in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let me jump into these verses 43 to 48. Mm-hmm. Love your neighbor. This is a reference to the book of Leviticus 19:18, where Jesus, he considers it one of the two greatest commandments of the Mosaic law in Leviticus 22:39. But the Jews had a narrow interpretation, Terry. They thought that you're only supposed to love your neighbor in the strict sense, your fellow Israelite. But Jesus is saying, no, this goes beyond the Israelites. You're supposed to love the Gentiles also. And where the Jews, they were taught to hate their enemy from harem warfare. These were laws that pertain to Israel back in Deuteronomy 20. But Jesus is saying, against this background, he's saying, you know what? He's countering it. He's saying, you Jewish people, we can't have contempt or disdain for Gentiles. So he's broadening the interpretation to love your neighbor, not just to your fellow Israelite, but to include the Gentiles. And we're going to play a clip, Terry, of somebody who lived this out.
Mm-hmm.
This is a young 13-year-old girl. She's brave, and she loves her enemies. I mean, she's a young 13 pro-life young girl who gave a speech in the city of Raleigh, North Carolina, before the city council. And it was an act of love, Terry, because love is what? It is, St. Thomas Aquinas says, to will what's best for somebody else. To will what's best for somebody else. 1766 of the Catechism, quoting St. Thomas. And this young girl, her name is Addison Woosley. She's 13 years old. She's going to give a 3-minute speech at a city council meeting, standing up for life. She's doing this from the position of love. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
Hi, I live at 2904 Creek Moss Avenue, and my name is Addison Woosley. I strongly believe that abortion is murder. I also believe murder is wrong, so I'm here to ask you to make abortion illegal in Raleigh. Abortion should be illegal because it's murder. The definition of murder is the killing of one human being by another without justification and often with attended malice. When mothers choose to slaughter their innocent babies, they already have fingerprints, noses, they can recognize their mom's voice, they can hiccup, and their heart is beating. On ultrasounds, the baby tries to move away from the disturbing instruments they use to kill the baby. The baby's mouth opens wide in a scream when being killed. These babies are alive. They feel being killed. It hurts them, and there's nothing they can do about it. There's no way around it. Abortion is murder. So why is it? If an infant is destroyed before birth, there's no problem. But if killed after birth, it's considered a brutal murder. These babies aren't its or fetuses. They are human beings, and they deserve to get the same human rights as any other person. As good old Dr. Seuss said, a person's a person no matter how small. But every single day, 125,000 small people are being slaughtered in America. Just in America, an abortion is performed every 25 seconds. Regardless of age, race, or size, people should be protected. We need to stand up and protect the babies. Another big reason abortion is wrong is that God says it's wrong. It's only by His grace your mother didn't abort you, because if she did, you wouldn't be sitting here today. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." God says babies are alive in the womb. Some people say that abortion should be the mom's choice. It's her body. But what about the baby's choice? The baby's body is in the mom's body. Abortion reminds me of slavery. Owners said that their slaves were their property and they could do whatever they wanted with them. How moms say about their babies. My hope is that in a few years, we'll look back at abortion and think, that was so cruel. I can't believe we did that. Just how we all look back at slavery. The question is, who will you be? The slave owner, the man nailing the whites only sign on the water fountain, Rosa Parks, or Abraham Lincoln? Who are you going to be? Make a choice. My choice is made. I'm here today standing up for what's right. I'm here today speaking for those who can't speak for themselves. Are you choosing to be like the plantation worker flogging the little black child? Or are you going to protest even if it costs your life like Martin Luther King Jr.? Who are you going to be? If you think abortion should be illegal, would you please stand up? We need to change the law to change the...
Order.
If you think abortion should be illegal, would you please stand up? We need to change the law to change the world, so let's stand up and do it. Thank you.
Order.
Hey, let's stop it right there. Terry, you want to make some comments? I got a lot to say, but...
I'll just say I'm proud of her. Addison, God bless you. It makes me feel as an old man that there's a young pro-lifer coming up and standing up for life. If she was my daughter... Jesse, I would be so proud of her. I'd say, honey, your parents are just, so proud that you were standing up for life. The way you did that was just magnificent. And even in spite of people yelling and screaming at you, you still stood up and stood up for life. I'm just impressed with that little girl, and I'm sure she's going to turn out to be a voice to be reckoned with in years to come. That's my take, Jess.
Yeah, she's 13 years old. Her name's Addison Woosley. She gave this speech at the city council meeting in Raleigh, North Carolina. And Terry, I noticed that people didn't have a problem when she initially started talking about abortion. There was silence. But when she started making the comparison between abortion and slavery, then that's when audience members began to harass and they began shouting her down. And they began to try to drown her voice. But she just raised her voice. And in fact, you could hear... she challenged them. She says abortion is a new slavery. Reminds me of slavery. And she challenged the people in the room. And I think they were convicted. You could hear in the background, people started yelling, inappropriate, inappropriate. And then another woman started yelling, done. And here's what I think, Terry. I think some of the black members in that city council meeting that were there that may be pro-abortion, they were convicted in their hearts. They were saying, wow, this young little Caucasian girl is like a prophet, and she's telling us that we're doing something wrong. And there's an old saying from the church fathers, Terry, the first reaction to truth is anger. And that's what you saw in that room. Terry?
I agree. Jesse, the truth hurts. And we've made that analogy before here on the Terry and Jesse show, but the 13-year-old girl doing that in a city council, God bless her. And you know what, Jess? All I can say is people need to go to YouTube and pass that on to others, because I think this is a great tool for us to stand up for life. Let her do, you know, have that repeated thousands and thousands of times. Get your friends to watch that and then say, what do you think of her? Because I'm telling you, Jess, I think she is magnificent for the pro-life and for babies. We need more 13-year-old girls like that.
Terry, and she did exactly what Jesus said in today's gospel, where it says, yep, you shall love your neighbor, and Jesus, yep, says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Right. That's exactly what she was doing. She was talking about the enemies of truth, which is the pro-abortion movement, the pro-killing movement. Yep. And she was speaking the truth in charity. And again, that's an act of love. Remember what it says in the, spiritual works of mercy. We're called to admonish the sinner, and we're called advise the ignorant. That's what she was doing. Advising and admonishing, yeah, the sinner and the ignorant. That's an act of love. What is love?
Yeah.
Church says, paragraph 1766 of the CCC, it says, to love is to will the good of another.
That's Thomas. That's Thomas.
That's the footnote. And that's what she's doing. Yep, Terry, what do you think about that?
You know, just one more thing. I love it. One more thing is the Bible says the truth is what sets us free. This folk, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got some more for you. But I just want to say bravo for that young lady. And I hope that people can share this with others. When we come back, we have much, much more here on the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be back in a moment.
Or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Partner Terry's on a telephone. He's out of the studio right now. Terry, we want to talk about this article. It's an article. It's called Steve Bannon Crisis in the Church Will Worsen. Laity Needs to Act. Let me introduce the article, okay?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's mention this. Who is Steve Bannon? And, you know, he comes from a working class Irish Catholic Democrat in Virginia. And he also worked in the Trump administration, did he not, to help President Trump become president?
Yes, and he's also, I think he started Breitbart. He was one of the guys that started Breitbart.
Yeah, there you go.
He's got an impressive background. If you look at his background, he's served the country as a military officer.
Sure.
He's got these Ivy League education. Yeah. He's got a pretty impressive bio. He's a practicing Catholic, Terry. I've been told from people, I know people that know him, I don't, and they say he's a serious Catholic. He's not a liberal modernist.
Serious Catholic.
And so Steve Bannon was interviewed by Edward Penton, and that's another guy, Terry, that's I trust a lot right now in the mainstream Catholic press.
Oh, yeah, from the National Catholic Register.
Yeah, a lot of the mainstream Catholic press, they watch what they say. They're very cautious of the bishops and the Roman Curia and the Pope. They watch what they say, but I can tell you two people that I really respect and follow from the mainstream Catholic press is Edward Penton and Raymond Arroyo. They're in the mainstream of Catholic press. But boy, oh boy, they definitely put out the truth and let the chips fall where they may. So Steve Bannon, in this interview with Edward Penton, he commented first on the clerical sexual abuse scandals. He said this, quote, "I don't even think we've even started the process. I think you'll see a lot more abuses in Latin America. I think in Cuba. I think in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia and Europe. I think we're at the very beginning of addressing this crisis in the church on the pedophilia crisis." Now, I would take issue with the fact that he said pedophilia because it's mostly a homosexual crisis of post-pubescent males. So that's one thing, but I agree so far. He says, "I don't believe the spin that it's all behind us. It's not all behind us.
No.
And it's got to be addressed. It has got to be addressed now. I just think it's a tragedy, but it's a bigger tragedy if you just don't do anything about it." Now, here's what's interesting. And he's right, Terry, about this thing's not behind us because there was the Pew Research Center study that was published on June 11th that says that most American Catholic adults, they agree with Steve Bannon's assessment that the sexual abuse scandals are not all behind us. And in fact, 79% of the Catholics that responded said that the reports on sexual abuse and misconduct by Catholic clergy represent an ongoing problem. In fact, only 12% believe that the Catholic clerical sexual abuse was primarily a problem of the past. And I'll just be honest with you. If you don't think they're an ongoing problem, listen to Church Militant every day. Every day, Michael Voris and Christine Niles, they profile another bishop or priest that's involved in homosexual predation. So anybody that says, "Oh yeah, this happened in 2002, the church is clean now," they're like an ostrich with their head in the sand, Terry.
Yeah, I will just mention this because for way too long it was silenced. We both experienced this in Los Angeles diocese of bishops, homosexual bishops, and nobody wanted to say things. All kinds of scandals. And you know what? Here's the bottom line. We stayed quiet. We quietly just said, "Well, we'll pray." And now we're doing both. We're praying for our priests, for our bishops, for our Holy Father, that things will get better, and also that we have the universal call to holiness that we're all called to do. But let's face it, we're putting pressure right now on the church to clean up. And the laity should do that. We have to do that because I think as some of the bishops have heard him say, when there's a problem of an abuse going on with a child, don't call the church, call the police. Because he, as a bishop, is saying that, he understands, Jesse, that we've got problems in the institutional church. No, this is the church that Christ instituted and that we are not going to leave because of scandal. We're going to be holier and holier to be able to respond to this because God's called you to do that. But I just got to say, Steve Bannon is basically just looking at this saying, "You know what? I'm a practicing Catholic, and I love the church so much
that there's some things going on that are really hurting the souls that are wanting to know Christ. And I agree with him on that.
Yeah, let me compartmentalize here for those that are trying to fit this, you know, trying to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Church has a human dimension. It has a spiritual, divine dimension. The supernatural aspect of the Catholic Church is perfect. The seven sacraments take you to heaven through sanctifying grace. The Church's doctrines are holy, and they're perennial, and they're immutable. They can't change, and they're divine because they come from Christ. Now, there's a human aspect of the Church. Remember, in the Romero household, a sinner runs this household. His name's Jess Romero. In the Barber household, a sinner runs that household. His name's Terry Barber. And in the Catholic Church, same thing. Sinners run the Church. And God can, you know, as St. Mother Teresa says, that God can write straight lines with crooked pencils. We're all a crooked pencil in the hand of God. But the thing is, I think as lay Catholics, Terry, as Steve Bannon is a lay Catholic.
Sure, sure.
We know that there's the supernatural power, that supernatural grace to rise above our fallen nature and to temper our concupiscence and to do the right thing. And that's what we're expecting of our clergy. Through the supernatural graces given to them through their ordination and the sacraments and prayer and the life of faith, they can overcome their concupiscence and they can lead us, as today's gospel said. Jesus Christ said, "Be ye holy as my heavenly Father is holy." Well, who's in charge of teaching, governing, and sanctifying the flock? Sanctifying means making holy. It's the bishops.
Yep.
And that's what Steve Bannon, like Terry said, he formerly worked for the White House. He was the chief strategist for President Trump. And one of the things that he's argued at a natural level, Terry and me are going to the supernatural route, but he's saying something very practical, that the faithful can take action by keeping their donation money from going to the diocese and the Vatican. I think that's an action item, Terry, that a lot of us should take serious.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Bannon said this. First off, number one, I think you've got to cut off the money. He says the donors have to cut off. If they won't listen, he's talking about if the Lavender Mafia that's embedded in the Church right now, the St. Gallen Mafia. He says if you don't have these committees that are trying to engage, then they will listen to one thing, and that is if you cut off the money. Close quote. And Steve Bannon went on to say that means here's another action item. Okay, he says, that means, you know, you as a lay Catholic, you can directly give to the building fund or whatever is in your parish to make sure that your parish continues to thrive, but you cut off any giving that would go to the diocese and back to Rome. Because I have read, Terry, that parishes, you know, have to tithe to the diocese. And so, when you just drop your envelopes inside the basket or money, the pastor automatically has to tithe to the diocese. So that's what Bannon's talking about. He says you can earmark your money to the Department of Water and Power or utilities or something, or the building fund, something where the money's going to stay in the parish. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's good. And I also want to encourage people not to give money to the Campaign for Human Development, which has been going on for decades. And it goes to Marxist groups, and it really doesn't support the mission of the Church. And that's run every time we have a Thanksgiving meal that weekend. So, know who you're giving your money to. I always say vote with your pocketbook. I'm all for supporting my parish, but I want to let the parish know that I don't want this money. I'll give
you one. Terry's getting cut off a little bit. Terry, you got cut off a little bit. Let me just jump in there.
You jump in, brother. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, we can hear you now. Yeah, so, yeah, Steve Bannon says, Terry, that the lady has tremendous leverage in this situation. The number one leverage the guy in the pew has is to stop giving money. As soon as you cut off the cash, you will force them to listen. So that's a practical action item. And, of course, Terry and me would say, in addition to that, we want to make sure that we're praying for our clergy every day. You're praying for your pastor, your bishop, and the pope. You're praying for those in leadership, as the Bible tells us to. In 1 Timothy chapter, I think it's chapter 1, it says, pray for those in leadership, kings and emperors, and those in authority. So as Catholics, we have to do, faith items, pray, fast for them, do penance. And that's what reparation means, by the way. Some people say, Terry, Jesse, you guys are always using the term reparation. What does it mean? Okay, here's what it means. We are the body of Christ. St. Paul talks about the way sin affects the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I forget what verse, okay? 1 Corinthians 12. Sin affects the body of Christ. So the church tells us that because sin affects members in the body of Christ, we're called to do reparation. In other words, prayer, fasting, and penance, it repairs the damage done to the mystical body of Christ. That's what reparation means. It's prayer, fasting, and penance, which repairs the damage caused by sin to the mystical body of Christ. Terry?
Well said. And Our Lady also said this at Fatima, that souls are going to hell because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices. So when people say, well, I'm leaving the church because it's all corrupt, I say, you know what? That's a wimpy answer. What we need to do is get tough and get closer to Jesus through our prayers. And we start receiving more of the sacraments like confession and the Eucharist, visits to the Blessed Sacrament. The answer is get holy or die trying, as Jesse Amen. Always says.
Terry, reminds me of just, June 6, 1944, D-Day, Normandy invasion.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Just imagine these brave Americans as they're coming off the boats in the ocean and the boats are opening up and they're running into the seashore up a hill to confront the Germans in this land assault. And they were being mowed down by machine gun fire. Can you imagine if all of them would have said, oh, no, the Germans have the high ground. They're on top of a hill. We're getting off our boats on the beach of Normandy. We're getting mowed down by machine gun fire. Imagine if all of them would have said, let's turn tail and run. Guess what, Terry? World War II would have been lost. But these guys understood sacrifice. They understood reparation to the highest degree, the reparation of even giving their life. And they didn't cut and run. So for Catholics, cutting and running from Jesus Christ is not an option. Cutting and running away from the Blessed Virgin Mary, our 12-star general, who's there in the beach. Amen. He's there with us. It's not an option, Terry, to cut and run from the King, from Dominus and Domina, our Lord and our Lady.
Jesse, why don't you really tell me what you think? I want to put a big amen to that. And I'll tell you, a lot of times you're hearing about the problems in the church, but we always seem to forget, I've been listening, where people don't say, well, what about you with your personal holiness? What about you getting holy? This is what makes Virgin most powerful, entity, because we teach people how to be holy in times of scandal.
Amen.
When we come back, we'll continue to do this here at the Fairly Justice. So, Jeff, your final thoughts?
Done. We're done. Yep.
Okay. We'll be right back in a moment.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, love one another as I've loved you. Alleluia, alleluia. Got my partner Terry on the phone. He's out there doing apostolic work as always. I'm here in studio by myself, but he's on the telephone. Terry, we're talking about, for those that are just tuning in, there was an interview conducted by Edward Penton, who does he work for again, Terry? Does he work for
the National Catholic Register? Everybody remembers
the good guys.
He's a good guy. Do you remember? There was a Cardinal Casper who years ago, two, 3 years ago, in 15, he was recording Cardinal Casper's interview, and he made some derogatory comments about the African bishops as being too conservative. And when he decided to put that in the newspaper, unfortunately, the cardinal, who happens to be very liberal, said, I didn't say that. And then what he did is Edward Clinton actually played the recording for him. So, you know, this guy covers his bases well, and I really respect Edward Penton, because he could have just said, oh, I guess he didn't say that. But no, he's giving out the facts of the faith, and so he and
Raymond Arroyo.
Raymond Arroyo are two guys that I want to endorse that you can count on telling you.
And I'll tell you why, because they work for the mainstream Catholic press, which they have USCCB breathing over their shoulder and down their
heat.
And these guys are taking the heat. Penton and Raymond Arroyo, these guys are two guys that are trustworthy. And it's not that the other people aren't trustworthy. Here's a problem, Terry. I'm going to just be honest. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I love all the people in Catholic radio and Catholic media. But here's a problem. All they do is they talk about, hey, the church teaches this, the church teaches Catechism this, the Bible this. That's good. We need to teach. I get it. That's good stuff. I get it. But they will not denounce, Terry, the darkness, the Lavender Mafia, the St. Gallen Mafia, modernism, the homosexual predators. They will not say one thing, the mainstream Catholic press, but for Raymond Arroyo and Edward Penton.
That's right.
Yeah. So going back the article in this June 4th interview, Bannon says, quote, the church has an existential crisis right now of trust. He says that Bannon says that about Pope Francis. He says, quote, that he's abjectly failed to deal with the administrative and financial problems of the church. To be brutally direct, his current inaccurate statements on the McCarrick situation, his inaccurate statements about Chile, call into question his veracity, close quote. I think what he's referring to, Terry, is that the Pope was caught last year defending Chilean Bishop Juan Barros, who was accused of covering up a fellow priest's sexual abuse of underage boys in the 1980s. And there was there was an intense international backlash, and Pope Francis issued a public apology, and he admitted, Pope Francis said this, quote, I made serious mistakes, close quote. And this is in reference to the way he handled the cover-up allegations against Bishop Barros. So I think Bannon's talking about that. And also,
he is.
Also, in an interview last month, Pope Francis claimed that, quote, he knew nothing about Theodore McCarrick, close quote.
Yep.
Who's he? Well, we know who he is. He's the infamous ex-cardinal who's now been laicized. Yeah, who allegedly has a long history of perpetrating homosexual abuse in his beach houses and other places. And I think also Bannon, he's also alluding to John the Baptist in my book, a whistleblower, some people will call him Archbishop Vigano, who claimed that in an interview with LifeSite News that the Pope was being dishonest. He said this, quote, what the Pope said about not knowing, in reference to McCarrick, anything is a lie, close quote. That's Vigano. And so I think that's what O'Bannon's talking about. All these. That's what he says, that right now he's calling into question his veracity. It's all these incidents, Terry, and many more that Bannon's alluding to.
Jesse, I just have to say this, brother, that when the salvation of souls are at risk, Archbishop Vigano came out, and what benefit did he get by telling the Pope, hey, Holy Father, none! You know what, Jesse? He got just the opposite. He's a wanted man. So here's my point. Why do we bring these things up like you just said? Because we love souls to get to heaven. Amen. And when there's corruption in the church, we have to call it for what it is and call. I think it's charity, actually, Jesse, when we explain to somebody that this is corruption and we don't accept it and we want holiness. I think it's what Fulton Sheen talked about in the 70s when he said the laity, I mean, Mr. Bannon is saying the lady needs to act. Well, Mr. Bannon, Archbishop Sheen has said that 40 years ago, that it's the lady that are going to save the church, and I would agree with you on that.
Terry, in the last interview that Archbishop Vigano gave, and I mean, it was even put in the Washington Post. I mean, it went in the mainstream press. Archbishop Vigano told the Washington Post, he said this, quote, "We are truly in a dark moment for the Universal Church. The Supreme Pontiff is now blatantly lying to the whole world to cover up his wicked deeds." Now, I didn't say that. I'm just quoting Archbishop Vigano, who he was once the papal nuncio to the United States. And unfortunately, because he knows all about this, and he knows that all his colleagues know about this, he's had to go into hiding, Terry, in August 2018 after he put out this, I mean, just, I guess we could say this damning testimony, indicting many people at the top, which because he was saying, he's one of the first that said that Pope Francis removed disciplines that Pope Benedict had imposed on McCarrick. And Vigano's saying things, Terry, that we're not going to advance his career. This is not going to get him any brownie points. He's not going to get the cardinal's hat for saying these things. I think he's saying this, Terry, from a position of love for the church.
He is. And you know, Jesse, he broke the diplomatic code where these things you are not supposed to speak about. But I'm telling you, that code is immoral when it comes to the salvation of souls. That's a higher action. And I believe Vigano, Archbishop Vigano, will go down in history as a great man in the church because it's a turning point where we said, look, the emperor has no clothes on. I just have to say that because in time, all these things that he's saying, it's all going to come out, Jesse. It's just a matter of time, because once this investigation goes on with the former Cardinal McCarrick, and we find out who was involved with McCarrick, which is not being dealt with right now, this whole thing's going to explode. That's my take, Jess.
Yeah, I agree, Terry. You can only suppress the truth for so long, because Jesus Christ said,
that's right,
the truth will set you free. Yep. And so the Holy Amen. Spirit is going to, and Our Lady are going to make sure that the truth comes out, you know, sooner or later. But in this interview with Penton, Terry, O'Bannon pointed out, he reminded us about Pope Francis's refusal to answer the dubia and also his non-response to an open letter from theologians. Terry, hundreds of theologians that were accusing him of professing heresy. They're also accusing him of additional scandals regarding his current pontificate. Bannon was telling Penton, he says, in the history of the church, you have to go back. When has any of this happened before? Close quote. And Bannon also brought up in the interview the issue of clerical sexual abuse. And he said this, quote, "You hear that there's a wave of grand juries that potentially are going to be publishing reports. This is sweeping through the United States 25 or 30 years after this crisis first took place with no resolution." And so Bannon is telling Penton that he's criticizing the Vatican, especially their February meeting. He's saying their meeting on the abuse of minors, he called it an abject failure and a disaster. What do you think, Terry?
Oh, I couldn't agree with him more. Jesse, he is like, I want everybody to read this because it's a long article.
Yeah, it's very long. And
everything that he's saying is so true. He made a good question when he said to, when Penton asked Bannon this question, too. Why is the Pope joining up with the far left, as you say? And, Jesse, I don't know anybody that can't say that. He does. And I think he gives an answer that's very clear. You've said it before, Jesse, over the years. But on the fact, Jesse, I'm going to expose it right now. When the new Pope was named from South America, you honestly told me, you were first to tell me, nobody else said this to me. You said, Terry,
hey, yep.
I'm concerned because of liberation theology and a Jesuit. That's a red flag.
I told you that day one.
Did you not, Jesse? You did. You did.
Absolutely. I had my real reservations because I know how cultural Marxism has taken hold of the seminaries and the governments. Terry, they're all socialist over there. Mexico all the way down. They're all socialist governments. And I know the way cultural Marxism has taken over their educational system, the culture, the media. And so when we had a Jesuit from Latin America, I told you, Terry, man, we better start praying more than we've ever prayed before, because this to me doesn't sit well with me. And here in the article talking about it says this, Bannon was asked, why is the Pope joining up with the far left, as you say? He says this, this should be brought up that he's a Latin American Jesuit inculcated in liberation theology. That's what I told you on day one, Terry. He says, liberation theology is nothing more than cultural Marxism with a thin veneer of the Gospel of Matthew on top of it, right? It's Jesus, a social justice warrior, the cultural Marxism of the liberation theology movement, and the cultural Marxism of the Greens, that's the Greenpeace Party, is the linkage of the post-political movement. It's quite natural for him. He's both a Peronist and a Jesuit at the same time. Peronist was a politician in Argentina who, again, embraced socialism, but he also embraced the tactics of the Latin American strongmen, like the dictators too, Maduro and Castro. He ruled with an iron fist. And so this is what Mario Bergoglio, now Pope Francis, this is what he lived in all of his life, Terry. How to govern like a Latin American strongman with an iron fist. In fact, just the other day, Pope Francis told people, hey, knock it off. Quit using blogs and the internet to criticize the Pope. Knock it off. Again, Terry, that's kind of what you would find a Latin American strongman saying to people south of the border.
Of course. You got it.
Yep. We'll be right back. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. Terry's in an undisclosed location. And we'll be right back. We'll continue talking about Steve Bannon's interview.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse Show, rated R, righteous, respectful, and rejuvenating. We got Terry on the line. We're talking about the interview between Steve O'Bannon and Edward Penton. Great article, Terry. It's so long. People need to get it. Go to virginmostpowerful.org and print out the article, or go to my website, jesseromero.com. There's just so much here, Terry, so much meat and potatoes.
There is.
One of the things he talks about is that he says, you know, the church has always been involved in politics, and we get it, but the church has always been involved in politics in terms of giving moral answers or clarity. The cultural part of politics, which is giving moral guidelines. But Bannon says that right now we're seeing something that's never happened before, is that the Pope and the Vatican right now are actually getting involved, Terry, in partisan politics. There's been these salvos launched against Donald Trump because of the wall. And the Pope has been made it very clear. He says anybody who puts up a wall is not even a Christian. And he sent bishops over there to celebrate mass at the border. Those are good acts of mercy and charity. But Bannon says he sees this Pope getting involved in partisan politics unlike any other Pope. Terry, what do you think?
No, I agree. And not only that, even the China appointment back in September, he has the comments about, you know, how this secret agreement that not everybody has even seen about supposedly helping the Christians, the Catholics in China, it's been a total disaster. And, I think he has to take responsibility. Tomorrow, I'm going to be highlighting a holy bishop who spent 25 years of his life in prison because he wouldn't compromise his Catholic faith. And I believe what's happening right now with the Holy See is they've compromised the faith in China, and the lay people are feeling that. And that's just tragic. And I'm saying that not in management, I'm in sales. But when I see what's going on in China because of what the Vatican has done with Pope Francis's approval, I just cringe and say how sad that these people who have suffered for so many years are now having to suffer even more.
And again, just a reminder, how do we become part of the solution, not part of the problem? Let me tell you, when you live in mortal sin, you're part of the problem.
That's right.
Because you're injecting poison into the mystical body of Christ. St. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can read his theology on the way sin affects the mystical body of Christ. By the same token, when you live in a state of grace, your state of grace, that blesses the body of Christ. You're healing the body of Christ. You're bringing order and truth and goodness and beauty to the body of Christ. So, Terry, every one of us, we're like pieces of, we're like a little pawn in a chessboard. We're either advancing the cause by living in a state of grace and pursuing a life of holiness, or we are damaging the mission of Holy Mother Church by living in mortal sin and by bringing darkness and disease into the body of Christ. So on a micro level, Terry, I can't change what's happening with the Lavender Mafia, the USCCB, some of Pope Francis' statements and stuff and actions, but I can sure affect the mystical body of Christ by Jess Romero being the best version of himself or become as holy as possible or die trying.
That's right. And that's the message we want to give to our listeners of hope, not, oh, things are so bad. We want to give you hope in Christ because last time I looked, Jesse, I don't worship my priest, my bishop, or the Pope. It's Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is who I worship. And I want to encourage our listeners to delve deeper into the Bible, into the sacraments, and have that close relationship with Jesus so that you can be prepared to fight the battle that he's given you at this time of history to fight.
That's right, Terry. And also, Bannon tells Penton that one of the things that, he would like Pope Francis to do is to speak to all of the body of Christ. In other words, to speak to the working class Catholics all over the world, because oftentimes he says that Pope Francis is just speaking to a part of the church, let's say immigrants, refugees, you know, homeless, you know, people that are probably living in the peripheries or living in the fringes. And a lot of them, Terry, live there because they want to live there. Okay. A lot of them live there. My brother Johnny, who works in downtown Los Angeles for the DWP, he was telling me, you know, here I am pulling manhole covers, pulling out manhole covers, you know, and climbing up streetlights, you know, doing hard work, you know, providing for his family. And my brother Johnny says, I looked across the street at all these tents and people that were there sleeping in the tents. He goes, Jess, I saw a young black guy coming out of one of the tents. He had bowling ball biceps. I saw him get down on the sidewalk and knock off about 50 push-ups. He fired up a joint of marijuana and went back into the tent. Okay? Now, my brother Johnny says, this guy could pick up 10 manhole covers with one arm. And so Bannon is saying that the Pope needs to dialogue with his entire flock, those of us that are the working class Catholics, the middle class Catholics, actually the ones that support the church. That's one of the criticisms of Bannon, is that he's just speaking to a portion of the church. What do you say about that?
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. As a matter of fact, Jesse, there's been comments for people with large families that the Holy Father has made these comments that can be construed as derogatory. You know, don't breed like rabbits. I mean, I'm asking the Holy Father, please confirm us in the faith. Don't be derogatory for being open to life. And I thought I'd never have to say that, Jesse, in my entire life. But I want to pray hard for the Holy Father that he'll see that, you know, we Catholics who are very serious about our faith are praying for him, and we don't have any,
animus.
Agenda.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Animus. We don't. We love the Holy Father.
Absolutely.
We love the truth. We love the truth of the gospel and the openness of life. Don't tell me that because I have a big family that I'm breeding like rabbits. I don't think that's good for the mystical body of Christ. That's my take, Jess.
That's a horrible message, Terry. That's terrible.
I think so.
And here's a couple of other statements that Bannon makes. I'll let you. He says, quote, I think the apparatus of the church is in control. It's in control now by a group that comes out of liberation theology. That's one thing he said. I think I agree with that. He also said, the financial and administrative side of the church is currently run by the clergy, who are incapable of solving this crisis, and the lady have to get more and more engaged. So he's talking about, and we just found out, Terry, that Bransfield, the disgraced bishop, he's been giving money, you know, writing big fat checks to people, apostolic nuncios and other bishops and cardinals.
That's right.
And why do they do that, Terry? That they're trying to curry favor. And they're trying to buy favor. They're trying to buy, I don't know, you know, possibly favors in the future. This is what Bannon and Vigano have been talking about. Right?
Yeah, Jesse, I broke up a little. Sorry about that. I think I heard what you said. I agree. Follow the money. And, you know, this is why I believe what Pope Benedict said when he was, I think it was 1969, the church is going to get smaller, but it will be holier. And, you know, we have a very worldly church right now because look what has happened with, the money pouch. And, I mean, this is a concern I have, and I know others have had that. And Bannon is just saying, look, this is a problem for us. We're not open to seeing this happen in our church where people are being bought off like it's a mafia.
Terry, I've read from some very good articles from whistleblowers that because McCarrick sat on over $200 million with the Papal Foundation,
that's right,
that he would, you know, in these big meetings at the Vatican when bishops from all over the world would come, he'd have these white envelopes filled with money.
Cash.
And he would go and talk to Bishop so-and-so, Cardinal so-and-so, Archbishop so-and-so from these third world countries. And, you know, greet them, exchange pleasantries. And they say, oh, by the way, he says, I know you guys are in need in your diocese, you know, probably of this, that, and the other. Here's a little donation from the Papal Foundation. And he'd put a little envelope in their, you know, in their breast pocket. Terry, that's what the mafia does. They come up to you. They're basically saying, "Hey, here's a nice little donation." They're telling you this. Okay, now that you've taken the donation, you have to do what we tell you, or else. And Terry, this is a game that Bannon and Cardinal Vigano said that's been played in the church for many decades now.
Calling them out,
and it's got
to
stop.
The corruption. Yeah, it's got to stop. And that's why we keep fighting for the truth. That's what we want. It's not personal. It's not personal. What it is the truth is what's going to set us free. And Bannon is asking some very, very good questions. And I'll tell you what, if I was on the other side of that, I'd be awful nervous with him, because he's exposing some things that I'm sure people don't want to know about.
Bannon is very familiar with China. That's his expertise.
Oh, yeah.
He says lies in China diplomatic relationships. And he's saying, he's calling out Cardinal Parolin, okay? Because he's saying that there are some secret archives that were given, that the Vatican has right now. And he says Parolin knows about it. And he says it contains secret codicils, which are basically supplements to, or an appendix to a document. And he says these secret codicils, they have all the information about these diplomatic relations between the Vatican and Beijing that were struck by McCarrick. And Bannon is saying, we need to see this, Cardinal Parolin. We need to see the secret documents that McCarrick parlayed between the Vatican and the Beijing.
Father Jerry Murray said it well, Jesse, when he said, we need to know all the connections with McCarrick. Who are these men that he had influenced? Because we need to expose them also, and not just say it's McCarrick and not do an investigation. We're demanding that this investigation finds out who else knew about McCarrick so that we can clean up our church. And I think that's what Bannon is doing right now. He's asking some tough questions.
Here's one last one before we wrap it up. He says that one of his concerns with the Holy Father, he says this, is that Pope Francis is now engaged in the anti-sovereignty movement, but the fascist underpinnings are really in the Green Movement. And that's because they want to take all forces of government and all forces of society and combat what they think is an apocalyptic climate change. They've actually given a date of 10, 12, or 11 years or whatever it is. The Green Movement is quite radicalized. They want to bring all forces of government into it. And Pope Francis has thrown his hat in with this movement. That concerns Bannon and all of us, Terry. Wrap it up,
Amen,
Gary.
Amen, brother. Tomorrow, I got a special show about a...
I thought we had Voris tomorrow, right, Terry. I think we got Voris on Wednesday.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm mixing up. Michael Voris tomorrow. Jesse, you're absolutely right. And you won't want to miss Michael Voris and what he's doing and helping the church get cleaned up. We'll be back tomorrow. You're right, Jess.
And on Thursday, you're going to have what? What are you going to have on Thursday?
I'm going to have a special cardinal bishop who died in China, and I want to tell you his story. It's very inspirational.
I can't wait to hear from the 10 freeway.
What state can we be living in?
Let's
brother?
Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin.
Praise
and don't worry. Do not be afraid. Jesus Christ says, I am with you always until the end of time. I'm out, Terry.
Amen. God bless you, brother. Full steam ahead. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.